Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on a Saturday morning. We are live and local, September 28th, here in the nation's capital, D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. I use the app every day to catch up on anything that I might have missed, to catch up on the Junkies, their interviews with Jonathan Allen. It's always fun to talk Commanders after a win, and we'll be getting into the Commanders against the Cardinals game on the show today. I mean, it's a sports overload right now, right? Baseball season comes to an end over the weekend. Then you might have a game, you're going to have a couple games on Monday, right? And then postseason baseball. NBA right around the corner. I knew that because I saw a trade last night. Send Karl-Anthony Towns to the Knicks. Wizards, we'll discuss the expectations for this season. But, of course, we're going to go around the National Football League. I've got to give out AWOD's picks and preview the monster Saturday night college football game tonight. Two top five schools, Alabama versus Georgia. It's going to be awesome. Joe House from The Ringer will join us at 10:30. Rick Snyder, Sergeant Snyder in the AWOD Army, and a columnist on 106.7 The Fan will join us at 11. But if you're tuning in right now, I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio, and I have to start with what happened last night in Miami. College football, Virginia Tech, the Hokies at Miami. And, of course, everybody's going to focus on one play, the deciding play. A play that was called a touchdown dramatically on the field, and then 10 minutes later was reversed. And I'll start by saying, I am very proud of the Hokies, right? I didn't go to Virginia Tech. I just support all of D.C., Maryland, Virginia sports teams here. All my friends, a lot of my friends went to Virginia Tech. I've been able to interview Coach Pry since I've been starting to cover that program the last few years, and he's turned it around. And I want to start by saying I'm proud of the Hokies for showing up as a very tough environment against a very good game, a very good team, and they played a great game. They had a good game plan. They've had slow starts that have burned them all season long. Not last night, right? Came out swinging, got a stop and a score. And then they got punched in the mouth with Miami scoring two straight scores, right? But the Hokies responded. And then Cam Ward answered. And then it was Kyren Drones and Cam Ward and back and forth all night long. I mean, it was an electrifying game. It was unbelievable. And Virginia Tech should have won. They had so many opportunities. They blew a 10-point fourth-quarter lead. They didn't execute a two-minute drive for the win. They had several huge plays called back for flags. They had a momentum-swinging, failed special teams play when they faked the field goal after a big interception and flipped the field. That missed opportunity gave Miami life, and they fired back on all cylinders. And yet Virginia Tech, as they did all game, responded over and over again, and they gave themselves a chance, getting to about the 31-yard line. Kyren Drones drops back to passing. It'll be now known as the failed Mary, right? He throws it into the end zone, just an insane play. I'm not sure what you can see on replay. If you've seen the replay, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. It looks like somebody catches the ball, right? It's so tough to see because there's like six guys in the scrum there. Obviously, the ball gets jarred loose at some point because you can see that on the replay, but they called it a touchdown on the field. And I know everybody that supports the Hokies is going to go back to that point, which is on the field they called it a touchdown. And every time I watch the National Football League, they say, well, you have to have clear and obvious evidence that there was an error to reverse a call that was on the field. Just insane. Just insane to do that. Breaking the hearts of all the Hokies fans. Just an unbelievable back and forth game. Miami, you know, will get the win. They'll go to 5-0. 38-34. Virginia Tech will fall to 2-3. More importantly, now 0-1 in the ACC. But man, that was an awesome game last night. Disappointing. But an awesome game. Kyren Drones was 19 of 33, 189 yards, two touchdowns, bounced back from the early interception in this game. Cam Ward is the real deal, 24 of 38, 343 yards, four touchdowns. You got to give the Hokies secondary credit. They picked him off twice. And the one that Spence had should have been a game – Spencer, Caleb Spencer, should have been the game-changing and probably the game-winning play, right? It gave Virginia Tech the ball back inside of the 40-yard line with a 10-point lead there. And there's a few ways you could argue that Coach Price should have handled this better, right? You kick the field goal. You go up by 13. You keep the momentum. You force Miami to go the length of the field and put up a touchdown. Then you know what? They have to score another touchdown, right? Because 10 points is good. 13 means two touchdowns, right? All right, well, or you could go for it. Bayshon Tootin, let me check. Oh, yeah, 7.4 yards per carry. He needs 3 yards on fourth and three. I think he's going to get it. Or you could use your damn running quarterback who averages 5.8 yards per carry and have him run it for just 3 yards, right? So you can either kick the field goal up, go up by 13, go for it with your running back, go for it with your quarterback, or you do a fake field goal and it gets stuffed. And all of a sudden, your defense is deflated because they just got a big stop, but the score stays the same. And Miami comes back on there. Their quarterback is too good to be given another life like that, right? And so Miami scores 14 points in the fourth quarter to erase the deficit, and they get the four-point win. But, of course, we're all talking about that final play on social media. But there are a few other things, right, I wanted to point out here. There was a lot of resilience shown by the Hokies, but missed opportunities on close but no cigar sack plays, right? I'm sure everybody's seen the highlight, the last touchdown where Cam Ward dodged a bullet, basically. This guy was coming in flying at him, ducked under it, and then another guy has his arm on him, and he just kind of chest passes it to his tight end, who's able to scamper free for a big touchdown. They had him, and it wasn't the only time. It felt like five or six times during the game. They had Cam Ward in the backfield, and he turned into Houdini and escaped. How about the long touchdown run that was called back for a flag? That happened once. That happened for another explosive play. That happened on a holding penalty where Virginia Tech got another huge run over and over again. Missed opportunities, right? Kyren Drones turned it over again. And that one was on him, right? He threw it behind the receiver who tipped it in the air. You can't tip a pass in the air against a really good really good defense like Miami. They've got playmakers everywhere. But, you know, then you talk about how, all right, you missed the special teams play. It's a disaster. You're still up by 10. They go right down the field, and you're up by 3. You get the ball back, and you went 3 and out with a 3-point lead and 9 minutes left. You were supposed to move the chains there and run the clock. Run the football. Tootin's averaging 7.4 yards a carry. They start with a throw. It's incomplete. And then 3-yard run. And then 3rd and 7, they miss it. 3 and out. So the momentum went from everything Virginia Tech. You just had the big interception. You return it 50 yards. All right, you're looking to get points on the board there. Blocked. Or it's not blocked, right? It failed field goal. Miami goes right down the field. All right, they score. Then you go 3 and out. They go right down the field again and score. And you just made it impossible for your team to get the win at that point, right? And then we're not even talking about the fact that by the time Miami scored, there was still plenty of time for Virginia Tech to go right down the field. And then they threw the ball for about 5 yards and wasted 15 seconds. And then threw the ball for a 7-yard pass and wasted 20 seconds. And so about minute 40 on the clock, went down to 36 seconds, and they're not even much past the 50-yard line at that point. The clock management was terrible. But, of course, everybody's talking about that Hail Mary, that Fail Mary. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Officials originally determined Daquan Felton made the catch. Virginia Tech stormed the field in celebration. It was called a touchdown, right? The referee, after a long break, came back and said that it was incomplete. Miami coach Mario Cristobal says it was an incomplete pass. That's all I saw. Virginia Tech Brent Pry says that's a tough one right there. The way that game ended, I hope they got that right. To take that to overturn it, take it from our kids, our coaches, our fans. I hope they got that right. Well, here was the statement from the ACC. Quote, during the review process of the play of the last play of the Virginia Tech at Miami game, it was determined that the loose ball was touched by a Miami player while he was out of bounds, which makes it an incomplete pass and immediately ends the play. I don't think I agree with that. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. The Hokies had their chances. They're going to all be upset because of the way that last play was reversed there. But I just wanted to start by saying I'm proud with the way they showed up on national television, and it's a good step for the program, even in a loss. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Live and local here on a Saturday morning, September 28th. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. I had one tweet said that wasn't even a touchdown. Replay cleared it. Clearly showed it. Go Canes. Well, if you're a Hokies fan and you want to vent about that loss, you can give me a shout now. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I think Hokies fans will be talking about the failed Mary for a long time. Max, you fell asleep, woke up and saw the news this morning. I mean, can you believe how crazy that ending was?
I mean, yeah, it's a little ridiculous. Like, if you call it a touchdown on the field and you take 5 to 10 minutes to review the play, I understand you want to get everything right, but at the same time, like, I saw the replays, it's very, very, very hard to determine, like, what is happening in that pile. So I think you got to stick with the call on the field, but it's a no-win situation for those refs, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are going to get irate either way, so I guess you might as well keep the team undefeated, right?
I think the true and fair, honest answer is that it should have been ruled an incomplete pass by the refs. They go to the review book, or they go to the review, and they say, hey, there is no conclusive evidence here. Unfortunately, we have to give Miami the win because you just can't see. But they initially called it a touchdown on the field, and that's what you're saying there, Max. So when I watched it last night, it's just a complete scrum, right? Everyone's grabbing for the ball. All of a sudden, it gets jarred loose, and a Miami player picks it up and starts running. The lights shut off, and Miami's celebrating. And then the officials put their hands up for touchdown. I mean, it was such a wild scene last night in the game. But like I started the show with here, it should not have even come down to that. It's so frustrating that Virginia Tech blew this game here. They get the fumble 3 plays in, and then go 3 plays later, and they're up 7-0. Everyone's losing their mind. Miami responds 7-7. They get an interception off of Kyren Drones. He's turned the ball over quite a few times now this season. They're up 14-7, all right? Then all of a sudden, big interception for the Hokies. They tie it up 14 apiece. They get a punt. They get a stop. They go down. They take a lead, 21-14. They get a field goal right before half there. And this is a big play here, all right, because I know if you watched the game last night, you know exactly what I'm talking about. John Love came in and hit a 57-yard field goal. Max, he hit a 57-yard field goal to put the Hokies up by 10 with 20 seconds left in the half. Why didn't they have a 10-point lead? What happened? Because Miami then got a field goal with two plays in 20 seconds. They got down the field into field goal range, and they hit a 56-yarder. So in the span of 25 seconds before the half, Virginia Tech hit a 57-yarder, and then Miami hit a 56-yarder. That was terrible defense right there. That 3 points would come back to haunt them later in the game. Then we talk about what happened after the Miami interception, right? Miami, Cam Ward throws the deep pass. It's tipped by Dorian Strong. It's picked off by Cam Spencer. He runs back the other way 50 yards. He is tackled at the Miami 17-yard line. The Miami 17-yard line. 4 plays later, Miami gets the ball back. Why? Because the Hokies chose to go for a fake field goal. It's frustrating because when I grew up, it was part of the Frank Beamer era. Beamer ball, they dominated special teams. This season, they have had special teams disaster after special teams disaster. They've had slow start after slow starts. They finally get off to a fast start, but they blow it there with bad management at the end of the half. And then I don't know what they were doing there in that drive in the third quarter. You have the ball at the 17-yard line. Just run the ball. Incomplete pass, run, incomplete pass, and then you fake the field goal. You fake the field goal there. Miami gets the touchdown. Virginia Tech gets the touchdown. Miami gets another one. They get the three and out. They get another touchdown. All of a sudden, they're up by four in a game where Virginia Tech should have been up by 13, if not 17. And the game could not have been flipped quicker. And I will say this also. Cam Ward deserves so much credit, right? He was doing Lamar Jackson type things. He was doing Michael Vick type things against the Hokies. He had 10 rushes for 57 yards. But really, what he was doing, the damage was behind the line of scrimmage. It was escaping sacks and making plays, keeping his eyes downfield. Just unbelievable play fakes from Cam Ward there. If you haven't seen the replay early in the game on a 3rd and 1, he executed a beautiful play action throw to the tight end where he looked like Peyton Manning, right? He faked everyone out into thinking it was going to be a running play. So Cam Ward, Miami deserves a lot of credit. They're a really good team. The Hokies showed up, though, and the Hokies should have gotten the win. It should not have even come down to the final play, but Miami survives as the Hail Mary was ruled incomplete after review. Just an insane game last night, and I wanted to touch on it to start the show today. There's a ton of good college football going on today, right? So let's start with this, all right? So you had JMU, the Dukes, just destroy UNC. Now all of a sudden they're a national known program once again. They're 3-0 this season, and the odds say they have the second-best chance of any G5 team to make it into the college football playoffs. Well, they're back at home hosting Ball State. I expect JMU to put the beat down on Ball State. They're favored by 21.5 here. If you haven't seen the Dukes yet this season, check them out because you might see them in one of these big college football playoff games as one of the 12 that make it. Alonzo Barnett is the starting quarterback. He was on the team last year behind the star quarterback Jordan McLeod, who's now at Texas State. He's thrown for 742 yards in 3 games so far, 7 touchdowns on the season. There's a few good ACC contests going on today. Of course, Louisville-Notre Dame is the big one. Louisville, number 15 in the country. They're undefeated with Coach Brohm. Notre Dame, number 16, 3-1 after they bounced back from that loss to Northern Illinois. Usually this is an epic game for basketball, but I think it's going to be a good football game this afternoon at 4 p.m. from Durham, North Carolina, the undefeated Duke Blue Devils and quarterback Malik Murphy, who I had on the show before this season. He transferred from Texas. He can take off and run, but he considers himself to be a pocket passer, 11 touchdowns already on the season, over 1,000 yards. For North Carolina, they lost their star quarterback early in the season. It's going to be their running back, Omarion Hampton, who's going to have to be the workhorse back here if they're going to get the win against Duke. Stanford-Clemson is an interesting game. And then SMU in Dallas, Texas, hosting 1-3 Florida State. But the big game that everyone will be watching today is the top 25 matchup between two schools here who are in the top 5. And that is the Georgia Bulldogs against Alabama Roll Tide. And it is in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. 7:30 will be your kickoff tonight on ABC. For the first time in a long time, Alabama's road home dogs here with Georgia -1 on the spread. I do think it should be a really close game. I can't tell, though. And Max, you could chime in if you have a tingle on this one. I can't tell if this is going to be an old-school SEC battle where it's like 12-9, a bunch of field goals and defensive stops, or if both quarterbacks will go off because Jalen Milroe can definitely heave it downfield, and so can Carson Beck.
Yeah, I'm torn at which way this could go, too. Like, both teams run the ball really, really well.
Yeah.
So, and both defenses, obviously, I mean, it's SEC defense, it's completely different. It means more down there, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you really don't know what you're going to get, but I'm very excited for tonight. It's going to be fun.
I'm going to lean to take the under here. I just think, you know, both the defenses will step up. I think there will be some explosive plays, but I do think it's going to be more field goals than touchdowns in this one. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on The Fan. We're going to move over to the National Football League and talk about the Commanders. We've got our keys to victory, pathway to success. But before we do that, we have to go behind enemy lines and find out what's going on with the Arizona Cardinals. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you're listening here live and local in Northern Virginia, you know about Westfield and their star Eddie Royal, who went on to play at Virginia Tech. And then in the NFL, he tweeted last night, "You can't overturn that. He's got the ball. We won. Nah, we won. You can't do this to me." What an effing joke. Eddie Royal was losing his mind. What the play? Why play the game if it's already determined who they want to win? A lot of people rooted for the Hokies last night. A lot of people feel like they got screwed over in the loss to Miami. Well, joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, sports betting's come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. They analyze every game to find you the most profitable opportunities. He was at the game, Hard Rock Stadium there, for Miami against Virginia Tech. It is Michael Phillips. What's going on, MP?
What a game last night, man. That was wild.
Absolutely. So I started the show by saying, look, it shouldn't have even come down to that, right? The interception when you're up by 10 down to the 17-yard line, you have to turn that into points. They missed the field goal. I also pointed to the fact that they had the 57-yard field goal before half to have a double-digit lead, and then they give up a field goal with just 20 seconds left. So many mistakes there that led to that Hail Mary opportunity.
Yeah, clock management wasn't great. I think a lot of people are obviously going to take issue with the fake field goal, understandably. So, you know, those things are never popular when they miss, and that one missed pretty badly in a situation where at the end of the game would have been nice to just need three instead of the whole thing. Didn't love the clock management on the last drive. Didn't love the clock management before halftime either. Those are the gripes. But, you know, and look, those are kind of permanent gripes under Brent Pry. He is what he is at this point, and you know he's not a master in-game tactician. I give him credit, though. Everything I asked for this week, he delivered. Basil Tootin rolling all over guys. That D-line pressuring what I believe is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. He played well last night, and that defensive line at times played even better, forced him into mistakes. There was a lot to like. This is the team we all thought could make the ACC title game this year, and they certainly looked every bit of it last night. For it to end like that, I mean, you know, all those other things that I just mentioned, that you mentioned obviously are big storylines here, but then that last play just overshadows everything.
Yeah, walk me through your situation, where you were at during that last play, and then what it was like in the locker room.
I'm standing right next to the Virginia Tech bench. I'm down on the field. You know, the pass goes up. We can't tell what happened, obviously. Well, you watch the tape, you still can't tell what happened.
Right. Miami turned off the lights right away first, right?
So both teams ran out of the pile celebrating. the Miami ran, you know, they did their light celebration with the LED lights that they do. Tech ran out, and they started celebrating like they won the game. There was no call for a second. Then they called touchdown. Obviously, Tech started – you know, losing their minds. Miami started booing, and you know it's going to replay, obviously, so that certainly wasn't, you didn't catch anybody off guard, wasn't a mystery. So I think here's my thing, and you know, I'm open to debate on this. If you were to just litigate that play, like if I were to send you a tape of that play, say take however much time you need with it, tell me if it's a catch or not a catch, I think you would ultimately report back to me that it was probably not a catch. But we play football under rules, Adam. We're a society. We have rules and laws. And the rules are the call on the field is the one that matters. You need conclusive evidence to overturn it. And replays, we were promised, would be prompt and only for obvious and egregious errors. This fit into none of those criteria. There is certainly no video evidence that shows conclusively it wasn't a catch. They took 5.5 minutes to look at it while everybody's just standing around on the field. It felt like we were playing under a different set of rules all of a sudden.
Yeah, especially, you know, the game being there in Miami. It wasn't the first touchdown that came off the board because of some bogus play, right? A phantom holding call erased a 60-yard run for the Hokies earlier. But you're right, Michael. I think it comes down to what did they call on the field, and that was a touchdown. Talk me through the rest of your night, because I'm sure that locker room was not celebratory for the Hokies after that.
You know, I've seen a little bit of Hokies football. I've lived in Virginia for 16 years now, and obviously they've been the team to watch during that time. Mike Burnup's seen more Hokie football than me. He's seen like 500 games or some ridiculous number. He said it was the saddest Hokies locker room he's ever been in after the game. Just full deflation. They knew they had dug themselves the hole. They were 2-2, you know, coming into this game. People had kind of thrown in the towel on this being the team we thought it would be. They came to make a statement. They made the statement. They celebrated on the field, and then they were told you didn't actually win the game. And just that reversal, right? And I've been in some shocked and sad Hokie locker rooms. I was there after Danny Cole caught the ball in the Sugar Bowl, and they took that one away from him on replay. You know, that was probably a similar vibe, honestly, just a group of guys who left it all out there and felt like it was taken away from them. And, you know, the question is, as much as you hate to turn the page, are you going to use that as motivation? Are you going to use that to go on a little run here and maybe play Miami again? You know, if you can beat Clemson in Blacksburg, you know, you can be in the ACC title game, get a rematch against these guys. Or is this going to be the kind of loss that sends you into a little bit of a tailspin? I think we don't know the answer to that yet.
Yeah, it's devastating, right? I mean, I tweeted out the Hokies got VAR'd, right? We see this in the soccer world all the time where everybody celebrates, and then wait, they review for 15 minutes, and they change the call there. That's what happened to the Hokies last night. And you're right. This is now the toughest task that Coach Pry will have had to deal with in his time at Virginia Tech. Miami had this situation last year, right? The deflating loss where they should have kneeled the ball, they lose to Georgia Tech. It ruined their season. It ruined their season. It ruined the locker room, right? And I know that from the conversations I had with the starting right tackle at Miami at ACC kickoff. It ruined the locker room, but they were determined to make sure it doesn't happen again this season. Well, the Hokies had the same situation here. You can tell that this deflating loss here has a chance to ruin the locker room, or they can come together as a team and respond. But, man, I'm not going to pick the Hokies at Stanford after that, I'll tell you, Michael.
I think Brent Pry is really good Monday to Friday. I like him as a Monday to Friday coach who pushes the right buttons and all that. I think, you know, I tipped probably at the beginning. I don't trust him on Saturdays under the lights. I don't think he's been a great in-game coach in his time with the Hokies. I trust him to get this role. And I also think, you know, you've got a little bit of us against the world here that you can play on. And there's certainly options you can do. But you mentioned Stanford. This is now, right, this is part of college expansion now. They got to go out west to play a game next week, and we don't know what that's going to look like, and we don't know what effect that's going to have on the team or the players, right? NFL players do this all the time, but that's part of the NFL routines, and these coaches are used to it. We haven't asked college players to go be a six-hour flight, play the game, red-eye flight back, all those things, especially after a brutally draining game. You know, it didn't rain during the game. That's the most humid I've ever felt weather-wise. Like, I know that the Canes were booing because they felt like a lot of those injuries were fake, and I think a couple of them may have been fake. But it was also just a brutal, hot, and humid night there. Guys were dropping like flies on both sidelines.
Yeah,
how do you bounce back from that and get to the West Coast and get a win?
Michael Phillips with us here on the BetQL Guest Hotline. He's in Miami. He was at the game last night, Virginia Tech at Miami. One last time here on the final play, the statement from the ACC was, quote, during the review process of the last play of the Virginia Tech at Miami game, it was determined that the loose ball was touched by a Miami player while he was out of bounds, which makes it an incomplete pass and immediately ends the play. What do you think about that, Michael?
I think it was simultaneous possession. I think the Virginia Tech player simultaneously possessed it with the Miami player, and we're told tie goes to the receiver, right? If both players come down with the ball, we're told that the receiver gets the catch. It's not an interception. That's been the standing football rule, right? Based on baseball, tie goes to the runner. Generally, these things favor the offense. The Tech player wasn't out of bounds. If the Miami player possessed it out of bounds without simultaneous possession, I agree with that interpretation. I come back to what I said at the beginning. You can't know. We don't have a conclusive view of what happened on that play. Right. We just don't. And so I think you have to let the call in the field stand.
And my thing is, they're saying it was determined that the loose ball was touched by a Miami player. By the time it's a loose ball, the guy had already come down with the catch, right? Like we're talking about before the loose ball situation, ACC. How stupid are they?
Yeah, if everything's different in the end zone, right? If that's on the 20-yard line, it's probably just an incompletion. But in the end zone, of course, all you have to do is possess and be in the end zone, and then it becomes a touchdown. I will say this. Certainly, if you were to give me one group of people and say they bungled an end-of-game call, I would have picked Pac-12 officials first, but they don't exist anymore. This is a very clear second choice on my bingo card, though.
Yeah, Miami moves to 5-0. The ACC gets to tweet out their graphic. Our school is undefeated. The U is back, Michael.
I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think they just weren't good at their jobs in that moment.
That's Michael Phillips. Michael, real quick, do the Commanders get a win tomorrow?
I just don't trust this defense. I think Jaden's rolling. I think Cliff Kingsbury's coming with something good. I don't trust this defense, though. I think they're bound to lose one of these because they have to punt eventually, and I think tomorrow might be the day.
That's Michael Phillips. Thanks for joining us, man.
All right, good time.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital, just after 9:45 on a September 28th, and your Washington Commanders are in Arizona to face off against the 1-2 Arizona Cardinals. But I think much like the previous opponent, the Cincinnati Bengals, who were 0-2 going into that game, I think the Cardinals are much better than their 1-2 record, right? I think you could argue there are a few plays from being 3-0, right? The loss to Buffalo, they had the lead most of the game. The loss to Detroit, by one score, had their chances. But win or lose on Sunday, I'm so glad that I get to talk to you all, DC sports fans here on The Fan, about a 2-1 football team. I don't know about you guys. Chime in right now, 1-800-636-1067. I'm still buzzing off of last week. I'm still buzzing off of the win on Monday Night Football. I feel great. It's like I could have had my tire popped all week long. Couldn't have brought me down. I've been in such a great mood because of how great we played. And I'm a fan of this team and have been for 31 years now, and I've been beaten down, destroyed by this franchise, destroyed by Dan Snyder and tough losses, right? But last Monday, my hope was restored. On national television, we won. And not only did we win, we made it look damn good. 38 points, zero punts. I repeat, zero punts. Now in the last two games, Jaden is running. Jaden is throwing. It's a thing of beauty. I'll probably rewatch that Bengals game over the offseason. That's how fantastic it was. Like, that was a game that can be a real momentum builder for your franchise, right? And I know that the players have talked about this all week long because they agree, right? For you to see your offense execute like that, get it on film, it's huge for Jaden to start trusting his receivers. It's huge for the receivers to know that's why we run so hard in our routes, because if we get open, he will find us, for Jaden's development, right? I mean, everything about that game was so huge and can be such a big momentum builder for this team. Even though the defense didn't look good as the offense was, they can use that to build momentum on all aspects of the field here, offense, defense, and special teams. So I can't wait to see what Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn come up with on Sunday. But before we talk about the weakness on the defense, because that is a weakness, and preview the Cardinals game, I just wanted to take a second here and acknowledge that, yeah, we're a 2-1 football team, and we got one, right? We got one of those guys that gives you a chance to win in Jaden Daniels. We got one. We've been searching my entire life. We thought we had one in Jason Campbell. I mean, we ran him out there over and over again with his elongated throw, took forever to release the ball, terrible offensive line, took 100 sacks. We thought he was the guy, right? Patrick Ramsey, RG3, Kirk Cousins, Sam Howell, Dwayne Haskins, RIP. So many guys, we thought we had one. Now it looks like we got one 3 weeks into this season. We won a primetime game, right? Dan Quinn's motto, anybody, anywhere, anytime, was finally on full display on Monday Night Football. We got a quarterback. We have a chance to win every week. You watch Jaden Daniels, it's hard not to say he throws like Mahomes, he runs like Lamar, right? It's so awesome to actually have a quarterback that gives you a chance to win. So I'm picking my boys once again to win this game, but I wanted to talk about a few things that worry me going into this contest. And number one, that's the Austin Ekeler injury, right? I feel like Austin Ekeler was the heartbeat to this team, all right? The game starts, he's returning kicks to give us a jolt right away, right? He's a walking first down anytime he touched the ball on offense, whether you throw it to him or you run it with him, right? And I think his impact, though, is deeper than that. I think it's the leadership in the locker room. It's the leadership on the field, on the sidelines. Brian Robinson, in his interviews, keeps talking about how locked in Austin Ekeler is, right? And to me, that means, like, he's locked in the locker room. That's his leadership, right? It's his preparation for the games that he's locked in. It's the in-between drives, checking the iPads to make sure that you're in the right space at the right time. That's kind of locked in he is, right? And I think that's going to be hard to replicate, but also it's impossible to replicate the production that he was bringing to the Washington Commanders 3 games into this season. Just a great veteran, and can't wait for him to come back here if he can make it back quick for the Washington Commanders. Another thing that worries me, our defense can't seem to force punts. Our defense can't seem to get off the field. Our defense hasn't stopped anybody, it seems like, on third down. And then you got the fact that Kyler Murray can make your defensive line look like clowns with his scrambling ability, right? Another thing that could be a factor in this game that worries me, this team hasn't been home in quite a long time, it feels like, right? So you go to Cincinnati, you win Monday night, they immediately went to Arizona, have been there all week. Maybe guys aren't comfortable, right? Maybe they miss their wives, their kids. That could play a factor in this one, right? We're all human. They're all adults there. There are things that are going to feel uncomfortable with the fact that you've been on the road for all this time. Another thing that worries me, one name, Marvin Harrison Jr., right? I mean, that guy was such a stud in the game against the Rams. He blew up Sean McVay's game plan. And I thought Sean McVay usually has great game plans, right? Just blew it up. Jaden has been perfect so far in his career, right? The only quarterback in the division to not have a turnover. Eventually those will happen, hopefully not on the road. Those are just a few things that really do worry me about this game Sunday. And the fact that this is a Cardinals team that I really think is much better than that record, right? I mean, the record screams 1-2, they're the Cardinals, right? Once again, they're the Arizona Cardinals. But I watched that entire Bills game, week 1, and I really think they should have won that game. Kyler Murray wasn't really able to connect with his receivers as much as he would have liked. They didn't get Marvin Harrison Jr. going really well that game. Got him going the next game. But they were able to run the ball on the ground there with James Conner and Kyler Murray. And if you look at the games that the Cardinals have played this season, James Conner has a 19-yard game they lost. He has a 50-yard game they lost. And he has the game where he ran for 120 yards. Oh, yeah, they won that one, right? So that's a team, much like Washington, that needs to run the ball to then set up their play-action pass and let Kyler Murray get to his spots, get to his progressions, and find his open receivers downfield here. A lot of their routes sometimes are longer developing that they just can't do if they're not able to run the ball with James Conner, who's now 29 years old, has been in the league since 2017, had some really good seasons with the Steelers. I think that he's kind of over the hill now, but you know, he's still able to certainly put good film on tape. He looked great in the game against the Rams, in which he had 6 yards of carry and a touchdown, buck 22 on the game. So this is certainly a talented Cardinals team offensively, and they've got a defensive-minded head coach, which is certainly a few things to make me worry. One thing that I like going in Washington's favor. Like I said, I think he was a real momentum booster to beat the Bengals. You just have a bunch of film to look at all week long where the offense executed, and hopefully the defense can clean up a few things. I think with how good the offense was, you certainly can have Cliff Kingsbury open up the playbook even more and make things a little bit more complicated for Jaden, as he's proved that he's been able to handle it so far. It's the Cardinals hosting the Washington Commanders Sunday at 4 o'clock. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app.